All right. So my first questions to you are, who are you, what do you do, and how long have you been doing it?
Well, my name is Paulette Doté, and I am a revolutionary, and I have been working to build and be part of a revolutionary movement from the early 1960s. I am also a teacher. I taught full-time for about 20 years, and now I do substitute teaching to supplement my money that goes to support political prisoners. I am presently the secretary, national secretary for the Jericho Movement. I was a former co-chair and for 2 years, and now I'm the national secretary. I live in Washington, D.C., and I also do lobbying for Leonard Peltier. Leonard is my cousin through marriage. I was married to Bob Robidoux, who was Bob Leonard's co-defendant in the case in 1975 in Ogallala, South Dakota. So many of these folks that we call political prisoners were actually comrades of mine, people I knew on the outside, people I organized with, people I struggled with, people I loved, husband, lovers, my life, you know. Part of the movement, I was part of an organization called the Prairie Fire Committee, which was the above arm of the Weather Underground. I organized the Los Angeles chapter when I returned from Cuba on the Vincent Amos Brigade in 1976. And left Prairie Fire about 1979 over political differences. But they are still my comrades, and I love dearly, and we have struggled out our differences. And now we work together in various political formations, but political prisoners, prisoner work is my primary political work at this time.
Nice. And what prisoners specifically, or prisoner movements, do you work with directly?
I work with the Jericho Movement.
Okay.
The Jericho Movement is a political prisoner organization. It was organized in the march was 1989, but it was organized, we started building for it in about 1987, early 88. It took us about 15 to 18 months to get it together. We had a march in Washington, D.C. We had 15,000 people from every spectrum of the left. And the purpose was to bring awareness to our comrades who had engaged in struggle in support of either national liberation, freeing the land for Native Americans, taking back their sovereignty. Members of the Black Panther Party who had engaged in struggles within their community to rid themselves of the presence of the police, who were this occupying force, and of course there still are an occupying force in many communities of color, poor white communities, to say the least. And so I work with the Jericho Movement. Now, I have been part of the National Leadership of the Leonard Peltier Offense-Defense Committee. Bob Robidoux, who was Leonard's first cousin and co-defendant, he and I ran Leonard's office from Leavenworth, Kansas, from South Dakota, and from two or three other places, probably for 15 years over the period that Leonard's been incarcerated. I now do work to lobby for Leonard. He will have a clemency petition that will be submitted. And so what we're working on is to try and get Congress people to sign on to this, and to every time they see Obama say, oh, right. Don't forget Leonard Peltier, you should let him go.
Right.
You should sign that petition. You should sign, let him have clemency and let him go home. And so that's part of my ongoing life, living in D.C., besides teaching and doing Jericho work, is to do some lobby work for Leonard.
Yeah.
As it becomes time and various people say, well, gee whiz, I wish I knew more. Well, I'm right there to tell them what more they need to know and what they can do.
Yeah. How's the clemency campaign for Leonard going right now?
Well, hopefully it will be going quite well. We have had quite a few senators that are interested. Mm-hmm. And the final touches of it are being put together. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully within the next couple of months it will be submitted. Mm-hmm. So part of it is, of course, to do this in such a manner that we have the more positive side. Mm-hmm. Leonard has been denied already before under Clinton. Mm-hmm. There was great hope that Clinton would release Leonard. But Clinton's own past was so sullied and such a, I don't know exactly what to call him, a politician, I guess is the word you want to use, you know,
yeah.
Unprincipled person, uh-huh. that he could not see to let Leonard go because the FBI had already intimidated him. Mm-hmm. And he really wanted to continue to do what he wanted to do and be who he was. And I'm sure, from what I understand, that if he had actually let Leonard go, they would have, like, turned over all his dirty laundry in public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why do you think this work is important?
Well, I guess I think it's important because I say I'm a revolutionary. And I came to my politics, my father was in the military. I was in high school and this friend of mine, his father committed suicide. He had cancer. He had no medical care. And his son, who was in my class, he said, you know, my dad said, left a note and said he wasn't going to burden us with thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And he killed himself. And I said to my dad, if the Navy can get free medical service, why isn't there free medical service for everybody in this country? We're the richest country in the world. We could certainly take care of our people. Uh-huh. And my father said, oh my God, I've got a socialist in my bosom. I didn't know what a socialist was, but I knew that there needed to be a redistribution of this wealth in this country, that there was absolutely no reason a man would have to commit suicide so that he didn't burden his family after he passed away from cancer. And so for me, living in the Native American community, having a child and having grandchildren, I don't want them to have this world that is nothing but based on material, where the people are getting richer and richer. And I mean, I've never considered myself middle class. I've been a worker ever since I was 14 years old. I worked when I was in high school, I worked when I was in college, I took great pride in being a member of a union all my life, even as a teacher. And so to see the working class being decimated, there is no middle class, there's only more and more rich people, that I just believe that this is wrong, that this cannot be. In this country, we cannot allow them to turn this into a fascist state. Mm-hmm. And so my responsibility as a human being is to become a better human being, which to me means to become a well-organized, organizer for mm-hmm. a revolution.
Yeah. And what strategies would you like to see emerge or develop among people who are already doing prisoner support work? Like, what new directions or...
Well, I don't even think it needs to be a new direction. What there needs to be, and Jericho actually has tried to do this, is an umbrella. So that people that do prison work are more in sync with each other. Mm-hmm. Jericho is trying to develop a medical team. Mm-hmm. Now, ABC, Anarchist Black Cross, is also working to develop a medical team. So there needs to be some way that our two organizations can come together and have a medical team of 40 doctors that helps all political prisoners, rather than us struggle to have 10 and they get 5 and somebody else has 5.
Right.
And so how do we do this? How do people put away the sort of movement ego uh-huh. and say, you know, Cthulhu's health is more important than anything. How are we going to do this? Uh-huh. You know, what are we going to do? How do we build a network of a confederation of Jericho, ABC, Sacramento Prison Support Work, Denver, ABC, uh-huh. you know, all these groups? How do we come together as groups? You can maintain your own autonomy, but how do we put our resources together so that we're actually able to help our prisoners stay alive mm-hmm. And maybe survive until they can get out on parole.
Yeah.
So that to me is one of the things that I as the secretary take care of, is yeah. that I relate personally to a lot of these groups. I'm doing this medical work as part of my political work within Jericho, is to work on this medical team. And so I'm talking to ABC folks and saying, well, how can we put this together? What does it look like if we develop a medical team? It doesn't have to be Jericho Medical. It doesn't have to be ABC Medical. Maybe we call it Political Prisoner Medical Team. Mm-hmm. And so neither one of us has to worry whether or not our name is the first one, or if our name is in there at all. But in fact, our prisoners are getting the best that we can give them to keep them alive, to get them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's really, to me, one of the key things that I see as a way of making this struggle broader, you know, make this box, push it out from the corners, and try and get as many variety of people that do PP work.
Right.
And ABC, I just use them because they're another well-known political prisoner group. Uh-huh. Sacramento Prison Project uh-huh. came about because of Eric McDaniels, you know, and he was a Green Scare person. And so some of the Green Scare people have their own support groups. So how do we incorporate them into a confederation so that all these resources that are so limited to us uh-huh. can be spread out and used more effectively?
Do you have any ideas on how that might happen, how we might broaden our...
Well, we have to sit down and talk to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and that can be expensive. I live in D.C. You know, I go to New York, I talk to ABC folks, and some of the ABC folks up there are doing medical work with us around this. We have shared prisoners, uh-huh. you know, but that's just one ABC. How do we take the ABC Federation and the Jericho and Sacramento and try and have some kind of conference, even if it's just a Skype, and say, look, mm-hmm. what do we need to do to make this work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it really is a thing. And money. I mean, I'm a retired teacher, but I have to go back to teaching. You know, people are having to work two jobs to make it in this economy. So, and it used to be, to fly to Portland, you used to be able to get on a thing for $200, $250. Now it's $400, $500. You know, to go any place within this country is more expensive almost than it is to go to Europe.
Right.
So, you know, we have to figure this out. Last year I went on a tour and saw a whole bunch of prisoners. I went on the bus. I used Mega Bus for wherever it was available. I used Greyhound Bus. I used Trailways. But there was no way as one person I could afford to get in a car and drive and stay at motels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a bus queen. I know every...
Right, you've got to figure it out.
And
now.
I've known buses that I rode in New York that got run down. And when I went to see Bill Dunn in Louisiana, there was that bus. And I said, you know, how come you're... He said, oh, well, these are buses from the north and they don't use them up there, so that's who Greyhound puts them down here in the south.
Wow.
I said, wow, you know.
And that was just last year you did that?
Yeah, yeah. Man. Apartheid here, bus apartheid.
Yeah, right? So as you may know, on September 9th, there are going to be prisoners across the states who are organizing a hunger strike and other types of solidarity, like, you know, labor stoppages, etc. And I wanted to ask you, what do you think the outcome of that will be?
I didn't know there was one, for one thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Basically, I mean, I do support work around that, you know, and some comrades of mine actually work in that part of the prison networking. And so, you should tell me about it.
Okay.
We will put it out on Jericho.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Jericho comrades in other areas, like Adam here, he sent us this stuff about Alabama. But I had already gotten the stuff from Alabama from some comrades in Texas. So it is going around.
Right.
But I would say that it has to be bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you were here last night, you heard Mark Cook talk about organizing the prison unions in the 70s. Bob Robidoux organized in Portland at OSP in Salem. He was in OSP. He, Gino Butler, and others. And so this is not a new phenomenon. This is like a third generation of it. It was broken by a court case. And so people on the inside have to move beyond just looking at it as a prison struggle. You know, you heard Mark talk about class consciousness inside. You know. I know that in some of the Arizona and New Mexico prisons, Native prisoners are trying to build unity amongst themselves, because every grouping has its own cliques, and as long as you have more than one clique within a group, you have disunity. And so they have asked, with the help of some medicine people and spiritual leaders, to have sweats, which they're allowed to have in prison, to work on building unity. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take Native Americans, it's going to take African Americans, it's going to take all these people from Samoa, you know, and all these countries that are arrested and are tried and convicted here, of coming together to build the unity inside the prison that will be stronger than what can be put against it. And September 9th, we know about hunger strikes. They're not going to let people die. We've seen what they tried to do in San Francisco. every Friday in front of the White House in Washington, D.C., closed Gitmo, has a protest. Uh-huh. Orange jumpsuit, black mask, and they have given demonstrations on this force feeding technique. Mm-hmm. So people are aware of this and, you know, how horrendous it is when they try and force feed you. You read about these men from Gitmo who have, you know, struggled against being force fed. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a challenge then to figure out what you can do to put pressure on the state when they won't let you take your own life for something you believe in. Mm-hmm. Now Bobby Sands and those 10 young Irishmen in the hunger strike, they died, you know. And eventually the state was able to convince the one mother that her son shouldn't die, and the strike was broken. And since then, there have been very few people or few countries that have allowed people to die on a hunger strike. They take them, they force feed them, they do all kinds of things to people to keep them from having total control of themselves, mm-hmm. and their own destiny. Right. So within these struggles, they're going to have to figure out some ways to really build a solidarity that is going to be stronger than whatever the state can do there. And our role out here has to be, you know, how do we help them get their newspapers out? How do we support people who need to go visit?
Right.
During some of these strikes, families aren't allowed inside. If you're a hunger striker, they didn't let you have visits. There's no law that says the cops have, the state has to let you have a visit. If they say it's locked down, then you don't get to go in. Each warden is his own fiefdom. Mm-hmm. So really, it's going to be what the prisoners themselves want to put forward.
Right.
And then how we on the outside can build to support them as, you know, totally as possible.
Do you have any ideas on how we can mobilize more outside support?
No. I mean, basically, the support has to come from the families.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, what has to happen in where these prisons are, and if you're a prison activist, then I know in San Francisco they have big meetings, and people go and see people who are inside, their families. And help them go up there, you know, to be in solidarity with them and help to build. And the parents have to go to the churches. You want me to come to your church? Then you bring your church to my son's prison.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, so many of these kids come from the same neighborhoods. The high school to prison pipeline feeds them in. If you reverse that pipeline and you go to those communities and you say, we need you to stand now with your kids. Maybe you couldn't do it when they were in high school. You know, everything was chaotic. There was, they were pushing, there was drugs, there was all this being used against your kids. Now it's time for you to stand with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if we go back to where the pipeline starts, mm-hmm. and can get parents to go there and stand there and to write letters and to make phone calls and to mm-hmm. freeze up fax machines and to be public, go on TV. Well, what if it's going to hurt my son? Well, it can't hurt him anything more than what it's hurt him.
Right.
You know, I mean, a lot of parents say that, you know, they're going to retaliate, they're going to hurt him, they're going to kill him. Well, you need to talk to your son. You need to talk to your daughter. Mm-hmm. What do they want you? They want you out there? Well, we'll help you go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll have a fundraiser. We'll send somebody to help you talk to your church about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so if we go back to where the pipeline started, then that might be a way to, like, have those folks then broaden the base of resistance.
Right. Let's see, so now this is for the new person who might be listening to this, who wants to get involved in prisoner support. How can someone get involved? Do you have any tips or suggestions?
Well, I mean, if a new person wants to, it means they have a friend that's been incarcerated. Or they have a friend that's talked about it. We have websites. There's websites all over. The best thing they can do is Google prison support. They can Google political prisoner. They can look people up in the phone book. There's the American Friends Service Committee. They have a prison support system. Amnesty International. All these things. Basically, Google prison support.
Yeah.
You know, who do I help? If my friend's arrested, what do I do? How do I build support networks? Mm-hmm. Well, before the RNC, a man named, this man, myself, and another Jericho comrade went around and trained people on how to build defense committees. Mm-hmm. That December, this man was arrested. Mm-hmm. He's since done his time. I'm not sure if he's still on parole, so I'm not going to use his name.
Yeah.
But we went around to the community and said, there's going to be this demo. If this happens, and your friend is arrested for throwing a stick or a rock or a brick, here's what you need to do. You need to have a lawyer. You need to see who can visit. You need to have two or three people sit down together and work on a strategy. What does your friend need? Does he have his medicine? Does she have her glasses? Did things get broken? You need, first of all, to make sure they're physically safe. Then you need to get them a lawyer. And then you need to start building within your community around supporting your friend. And so we train people on how to do this.
Yeah.
And so 4 months later, our friend had an instantaneous support group.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So that's about the best thing. You know, Google.
Right.
Everybody, all these kids, go on YouTube. YouTube has an incredible amount of work around political prisoners.
Yeah. Do you have any suggestions for those folks who might be rural and not near any, you know, chapter that's located in the city, for example?
But they don't need to be near any chapter. They can go online. Once you've found an organization, check them out. See what they're doing. Write them. I mean, you can start your own chapter right wherever you're at. I'm interested in these friends of mine. They did some support for animal liberation, and now they're in jail. So what do I do? So they would Google animal liberation, and maybe within their town, they would 3 or 4 people. Uh-huh. And that can be a chapter. You don't have to be any place. You can start your own chapter right where you're at. Mm-hmm. Talk to 2 or 3 of your friends. Start writing to a prisoner. What do they need? What can you do? Mm-hmm. Can you go to your church and talk about their case? I mean, it's all becomes relevant to your consciousness, you know?
Yeah.
You don't need to be near a big city, a small town. You and 2 people, you yourself, can be a support committee. Mm-hmm. There are people I know that live in Taos, New Mexico. There is not a chapter around there, but they do Mumia work, you know? They get the information, they put it out over their own networks. They talk about Mumia's case. They have little gatherings at their house. In the summer, they have a little barbecue out in the backyard. You know, you don't need to be any place. You need to be conscious. You need to find out the information. You need to check in with people. If you need help, you need to, like, hook up with an organization and say, look, here's where I'm at, what can I do? Is there somebody specific that I need, that needs help? I can have a little movie at my house. Mm-hmm. You know, I have 5 or 6 friends that are interested in animal liberation. I have some friends that are interested in Mutulu Shakur. What can I do to help Mutulu? Mm-hmm. How can I help Jaleel? You know? How can I help Eric McDaniels? And so then Jericho's job is to give you whatever you need. We have a website. Our website, thejerichomovement.com, has a listing of all our prisoners and pictures. And like Eric McDavid's picture, there's a thing, I think it says Sacramento Prison Project. You click on that and that takes you to them. Uh-huh. So we have links from our website to the prisoners' individual websites, you know, or to an ABC website who might be the representative of this person. So in many ways, we're already well connected. Mm-hmm. But the thing has to be, the first step is this person saying, you know, something's not right. Mm-hmm. You know, something's not, my friend, why did this happen? And they become interested, and then as they and not everybody's around prison, political prisoners. There's all kind of work being done around parole. There's all kind of work being done around solitary confinement. A lot of women do work around this anti-shackling of pregnant women. Mm-hmm. You know, women's groups who have absolutely nothing to do with prison. Why? They're going to shackle this woman when she's having, well, that's crazy. What can we do? Uh-huh. And so while I'm an advocate for political prisoners, I have absolutely no qualms about people and helping people learn how to do this other prison work. We have got to change. You know, we have to make this change happen. And sure, it'd be great if I can get all my PPs out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if we can make some inroads into destruction of the prison system, that's even better too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it's all these little things. You know, people read an article about somebody that was shackled or about racism in a prison. Oh, there's no racism. What are you talking about? Some people don't even believe there's racism in America. Right?
Right.
So they start investigating and looking, and the next thing you know, it's alive and living right in front of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, great. Those are all the questions that I have. But yeah, anything else you want to add about, you know, prison?
No, you can reach Jericho, thejerichomovement.com. On it, there's a listing of all our chapters. There's a listing of all our political prisoners. There's our email address, nationaljericho@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And anybody has any questions, they just send it off and we will respond and help out as much as possible.
All right.
Okay?
That's great. Yeah, thank you so much.